This podcast was proudly produced by NZ Audio Editors. For all your editing services, you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.nzaudioeditors.com.
Ryan J. Meldson and Greg Moll from One Plan for Retirement would like to welcome you to the NZ Guide to Financial Freedom. In this podcast, we'll break down the psychological tools and financial framework you need to live the life you want to ensure you don't run out of money before you run out of life. All right, so we're going to talk about a very riveting subject. I know ever since birth, you've always wanted to understand this. But it is. It's useful and it's important to know. And it's the Reserve Bank and the function it has and the monetary policies that they can use to sort of impact the economy. Because a lot of you are here listening or watching this and thinking, wow, inflation is a big problem. Really big problem. Because if you think about it, you use the rule of 72. So rule of 72, you can use it for returns and you can use it for inflation. It's a way to calculate compounding interest because inflation compounds as well, except it goes in the wrong direction. So let's think about it. So you've got rule of 72, which is 72 divided by inflation will equal how many years it will take for your money to halve. So let's think about it. Currently it's saying that inflation is about 4.9%. Unofficially, I've heard 6%, but you know, let's not speculate. But let's say it is 6%. So you got 72, you divide it by 6, that equals 12. So that means it'll take 12 years for the value of your money to halve. You got 100 grand, 12 years, buys 50 grand worth of stuff. Not ideal. So you need to make sure there's an actual institutional group that's making sure that inflation doesn't get out of hand. Because in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, it started getting crazy, you know, like 20% inflation. Yeah, mortgage rates at 20%. It was just a crazy, crazy, crazy time. And we don't want that to happen again. So the Reserve Bank's job is one of two things. Their mandate is to create conditions that help full employment. So it's just setting things up so you've got a good chance of full employment. And then the second piece is protecting the purchasing power of your money, because you do not want to end up like Germany after the Treaty of Versailles, where they were basically punished for World War One, and you had to walk into a shop and with a wheelbarrow full of cash just to buy a loaf of bread. So we do not want people to lose faith in the financial system, so we need someone to keep an eye on it. So then the next question is, okay, that's what they do. How do they do it? And what is their criteria to make sure they're doing it? So the criteria is between 1 and 3%. Inflation needs to stay between that. So sometimes it's too low, they need to encourage it to go up. Sometimes it's too high, like now, they need to get it to bring down. So between 1 and 3%, 2% is a good middle point figure. So now what are the instruments that they use to influence as best they can the inflationary pressures that are going on here in New Zealand? So the first one they most commonly use is called the official cash rate. A good way to describe it, so imagine there's a shop. And that shop, like a dairy, gets wholesale deals. So if it buys a whole lot of stuff directly from the wholesale, directly wholesale, it's a lot cheaper. And then they sell it on to the retail clients at a slight markup. So think of, instead of selling goods, what they're actually trading is money. So the money is actually the product itself. So the Reserve Bank have what's called a corridor, official cash rate corridor, where people go down this corridor, banks, and they go, hey, I want some money. How much will you give me for some money? And they say, oh, well, okay, we'll offer you 1%. You know, we'll loan you money at 1%, okay? But if you give us money, we'll give you 0.5%. So usually how it works is the official cash rate is 0.5% and it fluctuates. Sorry, I said that wrong. So the official cash rate is set by the Reserve Bank, and that's how much you will get if you're a bank If you go to the Reserve Bank, there's a lot of banks in those words. If you go to them, that's what they'll give you. It's their version of a term deposit. So think of it like that. The Reserve Bank's term deposit is called the official cash rate, and their mortgage rate is basically called 0.5% above the official cash rate. So that's the wholesale rate. So you've got official cash rate. This is what banks get, like their term deposit. And you've also got what they get if they get money loaned to them, what they have to pay the Reserve Bank back. So if they change that, if they change the accessibility of capital for these banks, so if it costs more for them to borrow, or if they don't get as high a rate for their money, then that's going to have an impact on their business. So you think about right now, the official cash rate is very low. It's 0.5%. So you're only getting 0.5% at the Reserve Bank. So that's going to, one, encourage you to go elsewhere to get a better return, and you can get a better return if you're a bank from lending households, credit cards, mortgages, businesses. And when you lend that out and make it competitive, because, you know, the only other option is to get 0.5%, so you start lending it out more and more, and then they start spending more and more, so that helps build up the economy. Now, the counter to that is if they increase the official cash rate, so it's they're getting a higher return at the Reserve Bank. They don't necessarily have to go out there to get that better return. And it's also harder for them to get capital from the Reserve Bank because the mortgage rate has increased. The wholesale rate that the Reserve Bank is offering for banks has increased. So same concept. If you're going to the bank and, you know, it costs you 10% to get a mortgage, you're probably not going to get a mortgage. You might hold out unless you have to. So that's the same idea. So that starts to restrict the economy. So it starts with the banks and it flows out. So we're talking about official cash rate is one of the tools they use. Another tool they use, which is called quantitative easing, or another way to describe it is called large asset purchasing. So think about this. The Reserve Bank can spend up to $100 billion on government bonds. And a government bond is, you know, the government lent money to someone and offered a return for that. So what they do is they go up to the banks that hold these government bonds and say, I'm going to buy that from you with electronic money, which is, you know, like a number on a spreadsheet. It's pretty rudimentary and legacy technology. But anyways, so they go off, they buy this government bonds using electronic money. And then the bank's like, whoa, look at all this money I've got. Okay, I'm going to go start expanding. I'm going to get that, you know, get these interest rates, be more competitive. You know, like I've got all this money, so I'm going to pass it on. So that's going to help inflate the economy. So you injected more money into the system, just like a kid with pocket change, you're going to spend it. So they start spending it. So that's quantitative easing or large asset purchasing. Now, there are some new things that they're doing because of COVID. COVID was an unusual market event, and they wanted to make sure that they can help the economy if things got bad. So one of the things they're trying is called negative interest rates. So that's at least something they're contemplating. So I want to explain it to you because it makes no sense. But think about it, like you got a mate called Barry, and you're like, listen, mate, I've made a deal. It was an illegal deal. I need to hide my cash with you for a period of time. I'll pay you. Is that fair? He's like, all right, okay, cool. There's a bit of a risk there. Okay, cool. I'll do that for you just to solve my heartache, and I get a bit of money out of it. So a negative interest rate, don't think of it as like an interest rate as such. Think of it as like a cost for holding the cash. So the bank goes up to the Reserve Bank's like, yo, I need you to hold my excess cash overnight. How much? And then they say how much, and it's, you know, like negative 0.25% or something like that. So that can be quite a confusing concept, but just think of it. They're paying them for the right to look after that money, and it's been done before. It's done in Europe. It's been done in Japan. And the idea is because they're getting such a shitty deal with the Reserve Bank, they're going to go elsewhere to start making that money. Or, you know, it might be a transferable into their own system. But the idea is, like, you're getting such shit right here. Well, I'm going to go out to businesses and give them more opportunity at money so I can make money from them or the households. So the idea is it will inject a bit of energy into the economy. It hasn't necessarily worked that way in Japan, but in other areas it may or may not. It's just something they're contemplating with. The other thing they might use, these are unconventional tools and new ones. which is called an interest rate swap. So think about there's two parties involved. So there's a person that makes a fixed return, and there's a person that makes return that goes up and down. Could go up, could go down. It's called a floating rate. Similar to the bank, you know, you get a floating rate mortgage or a fixed rate mortgage. And depending on where it goes will depend, will like impact who comes out better in the deal. So think of it like this, interest rate swap. So the bank, Reserve Bank right now, what they might do is become the version of the floating rate. So they are offering the floating rate. So there's a fixed return. So they get an agreement with the bank. The bank's going to pay 2% and they're going to pay it at this time for this date. So for the next 2 years, every quarter, for example, they might pay the fixed rate. So they're paying that. And then the floating rate goes down. So if the floating rate goes down, that means the Reserve Bank that was on the floatings deal, well, they don't have to pay as much because the floating rate was down. So they got a good deal because the fixed rate was higher and they ended up having to pay lower. So they make a benefit. Now, the opposite is true. Like if the floating rate was really high and the fixed rate was low, well, then the Reserve Bank got stitched up. How that might benefit the economy is if the Reserve Bank says, hey, I want to go on a floating rate agreement where I benefit if interest rates go down, well, that's going to encourage the economy to think, okay, I can see where the Reserve Bank's coming from. They're making these decisions under the assumption it'll go down. Okay, I feel more comfortable to, you know, inject more money into the economy. I'm expanding my business more effectively and getting inflation to go up. Another thing they might do is called foreign asset purchase. So in essence, what they do is they trade their currency, the New Zealand dollar, for another currency, for example. So they trade it for the pound. And what that does is you're increasing the supply of money into the economy. So you're like, whoa, look at all this money. Like there's so much of it. It's not worth much because there's so much of it. So that goes down in value, which impacts the New Zealand dollar itself. So the New Zealand dollar is basically a price that other countries are prepared to pay for New Zealand dollars. So it fluctuates over time, demand depending on how much money is there. Like you wouldn't want to buy a car that's made millions of times everywhere all the time compared to a car that there's only 10 of them. It's more valuable. So when there's a lot more money in the system, then it has less value. And if it has less value, then the price is less. Well, that's good for exporters. So if you export goods here in New Zealand and your price is down irrespective of what your own personal challenges are as an exporter and your own costs, but if you're just more competitive because the New Zealand dollar is cheaper, then that's going to encourage inflation. That's going to encourage the businesses to start spending and growing and doing well, which flows onto the staff and it spreads out even more. So that's the idea with that. So those are a few of the key things that the Reserve Bank are thinking about using. Some they already do, the quantitative easing / large asset purchases. Now, the concern is there's a fine line between supporting businesses because COVID is a rare event and also maintaining their mandate, being like, hey, inflation's gone nuts. We need to do something about it. So the school of thought, once this COVID, you know, clears, is they could very well increase interest rates because they're at all-time lows and they need to do something for inflation. And that could flow on, as we've learned, if you increase the official cash rate, it impacts banks, and banks may increase mortgage rates and you might get a better term deposit. But that could impact a lot of you that are getting out mortgages for these overinflated houses around the country. So it's just something to be mindful that it could go that way, that they do have tools and that's how they regulate it. And that's just the idea of how a Reserve Bank works. So I hope that made sense. If you have questions, just leave them in the comments or email me at ryan@oneplan.co.nz and I'm happy to help best I can. And I'm just on a mission to improve the financial literacy of a nation. Just not let money come between you and a better financial future. So, sound like a pitch, but whatever. So if you can give us a review, I'd appreciate that, just really so more people have the opportunity to learn, because I never learned anything about this until I studied finance, so you're probably like me, I think, or you're smarter, probably smarter, but I appreciate it anyway. So if you give it a review, more people have an opportunity. So thanks guys.